From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin from the national news. Indonesia needs to build support in the global market to tackle the negative sentiment in the European Union for its palm oil, an official from the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs has said. Deputy for Food Coordination and Agribusiness Coordination at the Ministry, Musdalifah Mahmud, said that it is about how Indonesia builds the spirit from the inside or build sympathy from the global market on the fact that Indonesian palm oil has been managed in a sustainable manner. She made the remarks at the webinar on Indonesia's palm oil future in the European Union markets post-COVID-19 in Jakarta on Thursday. The livelihoods of 18 million Indonesian workers depend on the country's palm oil production. The European Union remains an important and stable market for Indonesian palm oil export till date, despite a downward trend in demand. The total export of Indonesian crude palm oil reached $5.85 billion in October 2020. Despite the various obstacles imposed by the European Union, Mahmud said, as quoted by Antara. Head of the Economy Research Center at Indonesian Sciences Agency LIPI, Agus Eko Nugroho, said that Indonesia's economic growth 2021 depends on the successfulness of the COVID-19 vaccination. Nugroho said, at the reflection of Indonesia's economy in pandemic era 2020 and recovering the economy 2021, held virtually in Jakarta on Thursday, that the successfulness of vaccination will push the economy growth, including to boost the consumer purchasing power.
Pertumbuhan ekonomi akan mengalami pergerakan yang
The economy growth will be depending on the vaccine. I think this should be the government's concern, that vaccine readiness will boost consumption expectation. I think if we watch closely, that with 50% of vaccine readiness will push the economic growth between 3 to 3.7%. If we can push the readiness of vaccine, the economic growth will reach 4%. This is an achievement. The people mobility and consumption expectation will significant. Furthermore, Agus Eko Nugroho said that the economic stability in this pandemic needs people concerned about the health protocols. The economic stimuli also contribute to the household consumption and jobs. The Public Works and Public Housing PUPR Ministry will develop 11 state border posts or PLPN in 5 provinces. The Ministry's Head of Region and Infrastructure Development Agency, Hadi Sucahyono, noted in a webinar on Thursday. The 11 border posts to be established comprise 4 PLBN in North Kalimantan, 2 PLBN each in West Kalimantan, East Nusa Tenggara in Papua, and 1 in Riau Island. The ministry had earlier completed the development of 7 PLBN in Entikong, Nangabadau and Aruk in West Kalimantan, Skau in Papua, and Motain, Motamasin, and Wini in East Nusa Tenggara. All have been completed, not only the immigration building, but also its supporting facilities, including the market that can be used by local residents for economic activities. Affordability is one of the challenges in achieving food resilience in Indonesia, considering the higher rate of nutritive food intake in urban areas. Head of the World Bank, Representative to Indonesia and Timor-Leste, stated. Satu Kakkonen, the World Bank Country Director for Indonesia and Timor-Leste, noted in the December 2020 edition of the Indonesia Economic Prospect in Jakarta on Thursday that food consumption is enjoyed more by those in the cities, and urban areas are now demanding more varieties of nutritious food. As reported by Antara, Kakkonen pointed out that Indonesia faces a heavier challenge in terms of affordability rather than availability, as in the last decade, the production of staple food, including rice, had increased following the implementation of the Green Revolution. To this end, Kakkonen stressed on the need to give due consideration to the issue of food security, not only at the agricultural and production levels, but also at the trade and competitiveness stage while entering the market. Let's move on to the international news. The World Health Organization said on Thursday that China had welcomed an international team of investigators into COVID-19 expected to travel to the country in early January. Babatunde Olowokure, the WHO Regional Emergencies Director in the Western Pacific, told a news conference that the organization was in talks with Beijing over where the investigators would travel within the country. On Wednesday, a WHO member and diplomat told Reuters the international mission led by the WHO was expected to go to China in the first week of January to investigate the origins of the virus that sparked the COVID-19 pandemic. More than 72.92 million people have been reported to be infected by the novel coronavirus globally, and more than 1 million have died. Infections have been reported in more than 210 countries and territories since the first cases were identified in China in December 2019. President Vladimir Putin on Thursday expressed hope that incoming U.S. President Joe Biden would present an opportunity for improved relations between the two countries before attacking Western aggression towards Russia. Speaking at his annual marathon and year press conference, Putin began by striking a conciliatory tone towards Western countries with which Russia has seen its relation in recent years reach its lowest point since the end of the Cold War. He told reporters that U.S.-Russia ties had become hostage to U.S. domestic politics and said he hoped that some existing problems will be resolved under the new administration. Despite being one of the last leaders of major world countries to congratulate the U.S. president-elect, Putin earlier this week said he was ready to collaboration with Biden. Japan deployed the military on Thursday to help residents trapped by record snowfall that has blanketed parts of the country, with 10,000 homes losing power in the north and west. Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga called an emergency cabinet meeting and urged the public to be cautious, as local media reported more than 1,000 cars were stranded on an expressway connecting Tokyo to Niigata in the north. Snow also fell in the temple city of Kyoto, producing images of delicate pagodas and famed shrines dusted with flakes that delighted social media. Members of Japan's self-defense forces were delivering blankets and food to homes suffering blackouts. Japan's meteorological agency said the storm was forecast to weaken temporarily, but more snow was expected for the region over the weekend. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Thank you.
as vaccine began to be discovered in various countries, it turns out that the number of COVID-19 cases continues to increase. The United States has the largest total number of cases in the world, which has so far recorded nearly 17 million in various regions. At a press conference on Wednesday, Malaysian Minister of Health Dr. Nur Hisham Abdullah announced that positive cases in Malaysia were close to 88,000. The number continues to increase and can infect anyone. Many world leaders began to experience COVID-19 attacks. French President Emmanuel Macron is known to have undergone tests after experiencing COVID-19 symptoms and has to be isolated for 7 days. Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez and European Union Council President Charles Michel went into self-isolation after meeting President Macron for lunch on Monday. Portuguese Prime Minister Antonio Costa has also cancelled all official trips and is in isolation and awaiting test results after having lunch with President Macron in Paris on Wednesday. The current reality is that the COVID-19 virus attack knows no boundaries. Anyone can be infected, whether old or young people, world leaders or ordinary people. It remains how each individual take care of themselves by following strict health protocols and enhancing the body immunity. This applies to everyone, including world leaders. The vaccine has indeed been discovered. Some countries have even started vaccinating their citizens. However, given the massive attack of COVID-19, it seems that the world still has to wait for several months or maybe more before it is free from the pandemic, which damages not only health, but also various aspects of life in many countries. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
We meet again in Today in History of a Voice of Indonesia. We start from a story on December 18, 1946, birthday of Steven Spielberg. Steven Allen Spielberg was born on December 18, 1946. He is an American film director, screenwriter, and producer who is also considered one of the pioneers of the founding of the new Hollywood era. Steven Allen Spielberg is also regarded as one of the most popular directors and producers in international film history. He has received 3 Oscar Award or Academy Award as well as a Lifetime Achievement Award. Throughout the 4 decades of his career, Spielberg has raised various themes in his work. A science fiction and adventure film entitled Jaws in 1975, Close Encounters of the Third Kind in 1977, Raiders of the Lost Ark in 1981, and E.T. the Extraterrestrial in 1982 are considered as the archetype or reference of modern Hollywood filmmaking. Later, his films tend to be more humanist themes such as the Holocaust, the transatlantic slave trade, and civil rights. Next turn to a history on December 18, 1973, the Islamic Development Bank was established. The Islamic Development Bank, IDB, is a multilateral development funding institution located in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. The institution was built on December 18, 1973, by finance ministers of Islamic Cooperation Organization, ICO, supported by King of Saudi Arabia at that time. This bank began its operation on October 20, 1975, strengthened by 56 shareholder countries. As of May 22, 2013, the IDB has tripled the benefits of authorized capital and is able to serve Muslims in both member and non-member countries. With a history on December 18, 2000, Migrant International Day was firstly commemorated. International Migrant Day was established through the UN General Assembly on December 4, 2000. The background of this commemoration is the increasing number of immigrants in the world. On December 18, 1990, the UN General Assembly adopted an international convention to protect the rights of migrant workers and members of their families. The International Migrant Day is commemorated in various countries through the dissemination of information about the human rights and fundamental political freedoms of immigrants. The commemoration of Migrant Day is also a moment to share experiences related to the issue of migrant protection. That was Today in History.
Bermekaran di sudut pencarian. ku jaga.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vnews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled Indonesia Signing Grand Agreements for Solomon and Fiji. The Indonesian government signed an agreement to provide humanitarian assistance with the governments of Solomon Islands and Fiji regarding effort to deal with the pandemic in the two countries. The three documents signed on Wednesday, December 16, include pandemic relief assistance for the Solomon Islands and Fiji, as well as assistance to Fiji for the renovation of the Victoria School, which is affected by the climate disaster. The Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, also witnessed the signing of the agreement by representatives of countries from Jakarta on Wednesday. The minister said the newly signed agreements reflect a strong partnership commitment between Indonesia and Pacific countries, especially during the current crisis. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, the assistance provided by Indonesia for handling the pandemic in several Pacific countries uses funding from Indonesia Aid, which was established in December 2019. The assistance is also in the form of procurement of medical equipment produced by Indonesia. Apart from Fiji and Solomon Islands, Timor-Leste is also scheduled to receive assistance from Indonesia. However, the signing of the grant agreement must be rescheduled in the near future due to technical problems. On this occasion, Minister Retno Marsudi reiterated Indonesia's attitude, which underlined the importance of international solidarity, especially during the crisis. The signing of the grant agreement, according to Minister Retno, also reflects Indonesia's commitment in the cooperation to mitigating the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as good partnerships with Pacific countries. Indonesia and Pacific countries have many common backgrounds, cultures, languages, and shared interests on several international issues, including the issue of climate change. Therefore, Indonesia and the Pacific countries have also developed mutually beneficial cooperation in various fields, including economic, development, and technical cooperation. These collaborations is in line with Indonesia's vision of the Pacific Elevation, which was launched by Indonesia 2 years ago in New Zealand. Minister Retno Marsudi emphasized with the various collaborations that have been established, as well as the vision of the Pacific Elevation, Indonesia stated its commitment to continue to strengthen good relations with friendly countries in the Pacific in order to create peace and prosperity, find solutions on global challenges, and accelerate economic recovery in the region. That was My Indonesia.
Berharap kau terakhir, nyatanya telah berakhir. Ingin ku hapus semua, ternyata segitu saja. Won't you notice? Yes, I got this. Oh, she notices. I find my own bliss. Fly high, come, let's grow. Spread the love and let them know. You're beautiful, don't you know? Don't worry, oh, let's go.
berakhir, nyatanya telah berakhir. Inginku hapus semua, ternyata segitu saja.
You the one, boy, I thought that you're the one. Got me feeling so crazy every day you on my mind. Then it's over and we're done, but this time I won't cry. But why? Well, cause I feel just fine. I remember the first time we met, you were so good to me and like nobody else. But then you got me on lock, then the party ends. I'm always like, where the hell did this fella win? Man, it's okay though. Boys always come and go, they're just like seasons. And I'm Cleopatra, but he ain't my Caesar. So when you left, is what I gotta say though. Ay.
Won't shed no tears. Yes, I got this. Won't shed no tears. I'll find my own.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo hosegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qawintiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmikum.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo de getting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen.Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listeners, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Now I'm going to introduce Curug Cipaminkis in Bogor, West Java. There are a lot of beautiful natural attractions in this rainy city. One of them is Curug Cipaminkis. The location is exactly in Warga Jaya Village, Sukamakmur District, Bogor, West Java, and it includes in the Perhutani area. The distance from Bogor is approximately 44 kilometers. It takes approximately 1.5 hours to 2 hours by motor vehicles to get to the location. To enjoy the panoramic beauty of Curug Cipaminkis, you need to pay an entrance ticket of 15,000 rupiah and 3,000 rupiah of Perhutani retribution. Then you will also get charged 2,000 rupiah for a motorbike and 4,000 rupiah is for a car parking fee. Listener, the main attraction of Curug Cipaminkis is its waterfall. This waterfall comes from the confluence of two rivers flowing through Bogor, namely the Cipaminkis River and the Cisarua River. Cipaminkis waterfall itself has a cliff of 10 to 15 meters high. You feel comfortable to visit the waterfall, shower, or play in the water around it. If you enjoy taking photos, the local guide provides a variety of Instagrammable photo spots. Some of these spots are Gardu Pandang, Foto Bintang, Jembatan Cinta, Prahu Asmara, Stone Garden, Taman Baratayuda, and Rumah Pohon. If you want to spend the night, there are also accommodations such as villas and a large camping area around this waterfall. For lovers of outdoor activities, Curug Cipaminkis provides an outbound area and also a jogging track. After doing activities and feeling hungry, you can come to Saung as a place to eat and rest. A prayer room for worship and a toilet are also available. If you are on a trip to Jakarta, don't forget to visit Bogor City, especially Curug Cipaminkis. That's the end of Indonesian Wonder for today.
Bibirmu membuatku tak berhenti.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, the COVID-19 pandemic has changed people's living habits, including when they go to school or college. Various innovations have been created so that people are more comfortable entering a period of adapting to new normal. The online lecture system from home is the background for the student team. From the Instrumentation Engineering Department 10 November Institute of Technology ITS to create technological innovations in a bid to support online learning. The team leader, Muhammad Raka Dwi, explained that this innovation was taken from students' hope of being able to return to their activities safely on campus. Thereby, they created a technology that could support learning amid the COVID-19 pandemic, namely the HCL, an acronym for Healthy Classroom, with an automatic air filter and UV light system. The spread of the virus is prone to spreading in school buildings and rooms as educational facilities. Existing educational facilities must be able to apply the concept of healthy buildings as an effort to learn in the new normal. HCL is equipped with an air filter and UVC, which functions as a virus sterilizer in the room after use. UVC was chosen because, according to research, it can kill the coronavirus. HCL is also installed with CCTV and thermal imaging camera, which is used to send signal to the system so that UV does not light up while there are still humans in the room, because it is very dangerous for the body. In addition, this HCL is also equipped with a masker alarm that automatically sounds when disinfection is carried out as a sign that the room should not be entered. The HCL innovation concept is also realized by installing a DOAS, or dedicated outdoor air system, which functions as an indoor air system. The way it works is to enter air from outside into the room, which is equipped with a HEMA filter as a filter and exhaust fan to circulate dirty and clean air. With this oxygen exchange, the system created can also regulate air humidity. The result of this air filter system and UV can certainly kill the coronavirus in the air or on the surface of objects in the room. That was Miss Eleni.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. You hesitantly. You saw my imperfections and you saw who I am. Through all my insecurities, you stood by me. So I love you for the peace that you bring to my soul. High and low, I searched. You're the only one for me. You're my person, you're my home. You are real, you're my earth. You're a million other things that you don't even know. You're my sun, you're my ray. You're that twinkle in my eye. Oh, I wish I'd find you sooner so that I can love you longer. So beautiful to forgive all my faults, to accept all my flaws. Through all my insanities, you love me. So I love you for the peace that you bring to my soul. High and low, I searched. You're the only one for me. You're my person, you're my.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's music corner, I'm going to present you a song from West Sulawesi entitled Pasturungai Salili. The song Pasturungai Salili tells about someone's homesickness in their hometown when she or he is wandering. She or he misses Mandarland, a region in West Sulawesi. The song, which was popularized by Mandar singer namely Meti Baan, is often sung by the wanderers from Mandar when they miss their hometown. Here is Dildil with the song entitled Pasturungai Salili.
Sang ima u kelihatan segalanya berubah. Dan rasa rindu itu pun ada sejak kau hadir di setiap malam di tidurku. Aku tahu sesuatu sedang terjadi padaku. Aku jatuh cinta kepada dirinya, sungguh-sungguh cinta, oh apa adanya. Tak pernah ku ragu, namun tetap selalu menunggu. Sungguh aku jatuh cinta kepadanya. Sekian lama ku alami pedih putus cinta, dan mulai terbiasa hidup sendiri tanpa asmara. Dan hadirmu membawa cinta, sembuhkan lukaku. Kau berbeda dari yang ku kira. Jatuh cinta kepada dirinya, sungguh-sungguh cinta, oh apa adanya. Tak pernah ku ragu, namun tetap selalu menunggu. Sungguh aku jatuh cinta kepadanya. Selama ini sungguh telah lama terpendam. Aku tak percaya, membuatku tak berdaya untuk ungkapkan apa yang ku rasa. Aku jatuh cinta kepada dirinya, sungguh-sungguh cinta.
Tak lagi satu, tapi saling merindu. Meskipun tak bersama, ku masih rasakan sinyal cintamu. Firasatku berkata, kau merasakan yang sama kasihku. Katakanlah saja bila kau masih mencintai.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.